It's the Gadget Grill on to RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. I'm the Professor, Stumpy Steamboat Gaz. I am sitting in the driver's seat tonight. Sitting in the chef's chair, we have our chief chef and cook, bottle washer, and whatever else, Dee Dee Cup.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm sitting in for Jason tonight.
You're sitting in for Jason?
Yeah, he's
Jason,
away.
He is away. He was complaining about the weather down in Melbourne, I believe.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt it. It's cold enough here.
It's always horrible in Melbourne, though.
Which brings me to the other person sitting here in the studio this evening, young Mr. Quattromani, whose photo was in the paper this week.
Apparently.
A wedding photo only 6 months late.
Only 6 months late, that's nothing.
Muzzle
tov. Tabloid queen now. Tabloid queen is king.
He's been a tabloid queen for quite a while, of course.
And now I'm just in the fashion section.
Now you're in
the... I'm in the fashion section.
I don't think it was. I think it was the wedding section. But I can pretend.
The social pages. The Gadget Grill is in the social pages.
I look forward to being invited to all the marvellous fashion events.
You're an A-lister, Jeffrey.
No, I was in the paper, so I mustn't be an A-lister.
Not an A-lister.
We'll be seeing him shortly on the Style Channel.
We will.
Along with Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, yes.
And all the housewives of wherever they're from and all the... God.
So basically as a what not to do section.
Exactly.
Yeah. Looking forward to representing that.
How have
crowd.
You been, Jeff?
I'm okay. I've had a fairly good weekend, had a wedding last night. But
another wedding. This is becoming a habit.
It's all I do is go to weddings.
I know. You're social butterfly, you.
Oh, too many people my age are getting married now.
Ah.
It's become a thing.
You get to our age, you go to funerals, mate.
She's not kidding. I had to go to a funeral a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Really, yep.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, Dee Dee Cup, what have you been up to apart from going to funerals?
Working. Driving Miss Daisies all over Sydney.
Indeed.
And Mr. Daisies as well.
It is better to be driving the daisies than pushing the daisies.
Absolutely. I can't argue with that.
So I'm led to believe.
Yes.
I've been doing the usual stuff, you know, marching to and from medical appointments and working and trying to find out what the hell is wrong with me. And the obvious answers are not the correct ones, it would seem.
They'll figure it out.
Hopefully they will.
Yeah.
Eventually. So we've had more scans and all sorts of stuff this week. Oh, it's been an absolute joy to behold. It really has. Not impressed.
Never mind.
However, Jeffrey, you've got some exciting news.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
I think it will be.
I think this will be wonderful. Tell the listener what you're going to be up to in the next week.
So next Sunday, actually, I won't be on the show because I will be, by then I would have left Alice Springs, but I'm actually flying to Northern Territory.
Right.
Spending a week in that territory, I won't say state, and going to a small Indigenous community around 6 hours south of Alice Springs. To spend the week and help them out and try and do some volunteer work there and learn about their culture, their way of life,
their culture. Yeah. That sounds like a wonderful opportunity to me.
It will be very interesting. I mean, I will be without a phone. I'll be without internet.
That's good for you.
So all my gadgets won't work, but...
Good. I like that.
It's going to be an interesting experience, even just in that alone, going without everything for a week. That could be interesting to talk about next week.
You'll be able to count all the stars in the sky out there.
I think so. I think of all things, that's what... But I won't be able to use a smartphone app to know what I'm looking at.
Oh, well.
Yeah. These are the hard things.
This isn't what you're saying is actually not a bad thing. I envy you. I think this is a wonderful opportunity for you to go out and mix with the Indigenous culture to learn something of their culture.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That is just wonderful.
It'd be very interesting and just hearing about how they survive out there. You know, with almost nothing. There's literally not going to be much out there, and just how they get by day to day and. You know,
of course, doing this
in the same country as Australia,
absolutely,
it's quite weird.
Doing this in the middle of winter, of course, is really quite a challenge as well.
Yes. So I think it's still quite warm during the day, but freezing at night.
What have they told you to bring in the way of clothes?
A little bit of everything, actually.
Okay.
A little bit of everything.
Okay.
They said it's unlikely that we'll be swimming, but in the night time, expect some cold.
Definitely not swimming at night time.
No.
Yeah, not at night time.
What are they doing in the way of food? Is this going to be indigenous food?
I expect it will be.
Bush tucker.
Wonderful.
We're not taking anything. I'm not packing noodles or anything like that. It's it's going to be probably, you know, hunting goanna and eating grubs or something. So
okay.
I'll be a whole new man when I get back.
Interesting. Interesting.
You'll be less of a man, I reckon.
I reckon this is wonderful. You said you're going to be hunting goanna.
I could be, yeah.
Indeed. And we're going to help you a little bit with that.
All right.
This is Goanna and a track called Solid Rock.
Back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Hi.
Welcome back.
We are back.
Carry on, Jeffrey.
Hello. So
don't stop.
The big part of the show, which we start off with, is the news.
It is indeed. And Jeffrey, do you want to start with?
I feel like almost every week that we do the show, one of my news items is about a person who dies or is horribly injured while trying to take a selfie with something or someone somewhere.
Darwin Award material.
This week, it was a man trying to take a selfie with a walrus in China, in the zoo.
No, you'd use a phone with a camera in it, not a walrus, to take a selfie.
What? So this man was trying to take his picture with a walrus, got way too close, walrus threw him into the water, and he did not surface alive.
Well, I'm shocked.
It's incredibly sad. This is, I reckon, a weekly occurrence. We had, last week it was a Colorado bear, I think we spoke about, and there was not long before that we spoke about a tiger. I mean, you can't take photos with these things. They will rip you apart.
If he was in a zoo, did he get that close to the walrus?
And this is what I'm reading this story thinking, did he breach the enclosure? How did he get in?
Short answer, yes.
He must have,
right?
I can't see the walrus
they're not
coming out and taking the pond with him. So he can take the photo. There are two ways this can be done.
So he's a nitwit to start with, anyway.
Yeah. There you go.
Mm. I didn't think walruses could move that quickly.
3D printing.
Oh, yeah.
Progressing. You know where this one's going?
It's one of my stories. I want you to go for it.
Dubai, this the one? Yep. Yeah. Yep. The world's first 3D printed office building has been completed in Dubai.
Can you repeat what it is again?
It is a 3D printed office building. It's not a very big building.
But it's 3D printed.
Yeah, I know.
How big's the printer? How big's the building?
The building's big enough to fit people in.
It's 250 squares.
Holy.
So it's not that
250
small.
Square metres. 2,690 square feet. The building is located within Dubai's Emirates Towers complex and will serve as a fully functional office.
Yep.
Now, to answer your question, a very large 3D printer measuring 20 by 120 by 40 feet, that's 6 by 36 by 12 metres, did most of the work. Now, you remember, a couple of months ago, we spoke about 3D printing plane parts in the Boeing factory.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is the same sort of thing. 3D printing is going everywhere.
I wonder what materials they used for that.
It's a special cement. So it was built with a compound of different materials to make this special cement that they could actually use through the printer.
Mm.
But the part that I loved about this news was that the amount of people involved to build it. So you think about what it takes to build a normal house or an office.
Yeah, quite a few people.
So this was one person to manage the printer, seven people to install the building components, and 10 electricians. That's it.
And other specialists, yep.
Yeah, but that's it. I mean, that's mind-blowing. There wasn't a tiler, a plumber, a brickie, you know, all these things. It was the printer did a lot of the work.
So in reality, we shouldn't have any homeless people because we can print homes.
That's a very good point.
That's a very good point. And on the news this week was the story about the inflatable rooms that they're now putting on the International Space Station. Did you see that?
No, yes.
They have been failing with this for a couple of days, but they finally got it started today.
Yeah.
And they're building these inflatable rooms as extensions of the space station.
It's genius.
So that they've inflated it. They're going to leave it for a few days to make sure that there's no air leaks for obvious reasons.
Yep, yep.
And this becomes extra quarters for the people on the space station.
Wow.
Now, the uses of that, when you think in terms of populating the moon, populating Mars, that sort of thing.
Yep.
This sort of thing, very compact to take with you.
Mm.
Get your bike pump out and plug it in and to the cigarette lighter and away.
Yeah, I'm worried, though, about what it's made of.
It's made...
It'd have to be pretty tough stuff.
I believe it's made out of plastic.
It's probably plastic.
If a big
plastic rock
comes along and your history.
I would imagine that they do have that sort of thing covered because that's the sort of thing that they have to...
You'd hope so.
Well, that's the sort of thing they have to cover with the gear that the astronauts wear anyway. So there would be that sort of thing already covered.
Mm.
Next story, young Jeffrey.
So Dyson are quite well known for their vacuums or hand dryers.
Ah, yes.
Recently, blow dryers. They've got a hair dryer coming out.
Yes.
But I had a look this week at a lamp by Dyson.
Mm. Yes.
Now, this is bizarre. Bizarre because it uses space technology, and that's where I've sort of taken this story from, is that it's an LED lamp which focuses more on the illumination of light rather than the source of light. This is their words. Now, essentially, it's a small bunch of LEDs that provide the light.
Yes.
They say it can last for 144,000 hours.
My question is that given how many years that equates to, how... Do they know?
Yes. So it's a sum that they've put together. Now, the reason that they come up with that number is the way that they've cooled the LEDs.
Yes, I know. This is the interesting part for me.
Yeah, same for me as well.
Carry on, and then I'll give you my cynical take on it.
Good. So they're using heat pipe technology, which is used in computers. Some computers use heat pipe technology. It was originally used in satellites in space. Essentially, it's a sealed pipe with a single drop of water, and it's vacuumed. So there's no actual air in there. And this single drop of water moves around the pipe and keeps things cool.
As the light generates heat,
correct,
it vaporizes the drop of water.
Yep.
The vapor moves to a different part of the heat tube, cools down, becomes a drop again, returns to where it was, and the process continues.
Spot on.
The time. Of course, you realize what happens if that tube gets a leak in it. This will be the first light in history that will fail because of a radiator leak.
That is also likely to happen. It is.
What spun me out, though, about these lights was how much they cost.
So let me tell you. Because, and to be honest, it looks like a science, you know, this apparatus that you used to use, the pole with the clamp that goes on. Mm-hmm. It looks like that, basically.
Yeah.
But for the floor lamp, which, you know, sits on the floor, put it next to the couch, $1,200.
Yep.
Good grief.
And
for the desk lamp?
The desk lamp is $850.
That's a crazy. A lot of money for a light.
It's a lot of
money. How many ordinary lamps with ordinary but light globes could I buy for that money?
I don't want to know.
Yes.
I don't want to even consider this. It is super expensive, and Dyson do start that way. And I'm hoping that as time goes on, that figure comes down, because I would not be able to afford one.
Well, I don't know that it will, because the vacuum cleaners haven't come down in price.
Oh, a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. Not a lot. Not a lot.
A little.
Have you heard about the transit elevated bus from China?
Yes.
This is fascinating. It's a Chinese proposal for a bus that drives over multiple lanes of traffic, making it unaffected by traffic jams. Well, that's wrong. And freeing space on the road. Basically, it's a carriage that straddles, for instance, two lanes of road, and as you can see in the photo.
Oh, and you can drive underneath it.
And the cars drive like underneath it.
Yeah.
But what happens if a car,
has an accident.
Well, as happens in, for instance, Melbourne, you can have a vehicle that has, and will happen in Sydney when we get the light rail happening again.
Yeah.
A vehicle crosses onto the rails that this vehicle uses, a car.
Stops
and has a collision with this and so on.
Yep.
I'm not as confident as they are of this, but the concept of using the airspace above the roadway is a valid one until you get to a low bridge.
I agree, or even a high truck. I mean, there is, how high can you build a bus to go over traffic? To what point? Is it 5 metres? Is it going to be 3 metres? I mean, you have to think cars come in different heights. You can't just expect it will drive over everything, because semi-trailers are really high.
They are indeed. So, and we hear enough about buses and trucks that hit bridges and
tip over and catch fire.
Freeways.
And I would panic quite a bit if I'm driving and a bus just drives
over the top of you.
That would just be so weird to be driving all of a sudden, there's a bus on top of me.
That would certainly take a bit of getting used to. Yeah. Dee, you've got something for news?
No, I don't have any. Oh, well, I kind of do, just from memory.
Okay.
I saw today on the television about a robotic arm.
Oh, the robotic hand.
Yeah.
That they're working on now.
In Melbourne?
In Melbourne, yes.
St. Vincent's Hospital in Melbourne.
Mm.
Carry on.
So they're trying to develop they're developing it. But the hitch that they've got is it can't feel. And they want to make it to be so that it'll be able to feel. So that you'll have more, because it's going to connect onto your limb. And then have connection to your brain so you can operate it.
Yep.
But they need it to have feeling. So you don't pick your cup of coffee up and just crush it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, you need to know.
You need that.
This is
they're working on this now. It's amazing.
It was. Cool. They showed a prototype of this on news earlier today, and it is larger than your typical hand. But you know, that's not a big deal.
That'll get smaller.
But they're talking about giving feedback to the individual's brains.
Wow.
In terms of the pressure and so on, what things feel like,
so that they can pick up an egg, for example.
They could pick up. Pick up an egg, a pencil, something like that, or a feather, which requires less, less pressure, more sensitive handling.
Mm. Wow.
So amazing. Absolutely.
Okay.
Won't be long, we'll be androids.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to it.
Next story, Jeff.
So it looks like Jawbone is actually in a little bit of trouble.
Oh, dear.
Now, Jawbone were one of the first ones to come out with the whole wearable craze and count our steps and things like that. But things are obviously not working out that well for them. It looks like that their speaker business is up for sale. So remember the jam boxes and things like that?
Yes.
They were pretty good speakers.
Yes.
So that looks like that will be dropping off the wayside, and there is a large percentage of their wearable business up for sale as well.
Right.
So a bit sad. They were one of the first to enter that market, but looks like it may be coming to an end for Jawbone.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Let's talk about broadband for a moment.
Sure.
Because this is a very interesting topic.
Okay.
And to give you an example, my broadband connection, DSL2,
yep.
My download speed is around about 13 megabits per second.
Okay.
My upload speed is about 800 megabits per second.
Kilobits.
800, yeah.
So it's less than a meg.
Less than a meg, yeah. Yep. Okay.
It's about right.
As part of the 2015 Broadband Progress Report, the FCC in America has voted to change the definition of broadband.
Right.
By raising the minimum download speeds needed from 4 megabits per second to 25 megabits per second, and wait for it, the minimum upload speed from 1 megabits per second to 3 megabits per second.
That's interesting that they're changing the definition.
Okay, well, that's because fibre is becoming more commonplace. And
it is becoming a bigger deal in the US, isn't it?
And it's becoming, and fibre, of course, is faster.
Mm.
But what is interesting about this is that my DSL2 connection, my ADSL2 connection,
yep.
which I've had for a number of years, and which I call broadband, and my upload speed is something that does frustrate me from time to time, because I do have to upload some large files periodically,
yep.
does not even meet the now obsolete standard of broadband.
In the US.
In the US.
Yeah.
Now, that is, I think that is a very, very significant
It's sad.
Situation. It's a very sad situation, yeah. Absolutely.
And I mean, I think the frustrating part with broadband in Australia is that it varies depending on where you live. In extreme ways. I mean, at my house, for example, I know that I would easily achieve 80 megabits down,
yep.
and easily achieve 30 megabits up.
And I'm jealous. I'm absolutely jealous.
but that is because of the infrastructure that I have at my place, which is fibre, and it's frustrating for me. Well, not so much anymore, but it's frustrating for me knowing that I've got a particular type of internet that not everyone else gets to make full advantage of, and especially someone who lives you live a lot closer to the city than I do.
Yeah.
You know, someone so close to the CBD doesn't have adequate internet.
I live about a kilometre from the exchange, and my upload speed, quite frankly, sucks.
It does.
It really sucks.
Yeah.
And the fact that it didn't even meet the old broadband standard, what the FCC called broadband, and now it is just so far behind.
Yeah. I reckon you would get faster upload speeds on your mobile.
In actual fact, where I live, no, because really? I live in a Faraday cage because of, all the apartments around my place, and we're in the centre and on the ground floor of our apartments. We don't get a good radio signal there, so away from home, yes, you're absolutely correct, but it's very difficult to get internet at home when you're away from home, by definition.
You just need to move.
That's what it's going to have to be, yeah.
One day.
Yep.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to.
You got one more story, Jeff?
Yes. There is a story. It's probably more relevant as to actually while I'm away, and I'm sure you guys will talk about this next week as well. But
oh, we'll talk about you while you're gone.
I know. Well, besides that, WWDC is coming up again.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yes, because you get to see exactly how far behind the rest of the world the latest Apple developer. Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Well, it is the developers conference for Apple, and it's where we get some pretty good insights as to what Apple will come up with in the next 12 months.
Yeah, I believe they're coming out with a camera in a phone soon.
I think they're going to add a camera to a phone, yeah. Yeah, they'll be the first. It'll be revolutionary. Hold on tight.
Maybe something like FaceTime or something.
Yeah, they'll be able to do calls, SMS.
Yeah, phone calls on a phone, my God.
All the advanced
stuff. I am shocked. And seriously speaking, that is an important event.
It is.
In the technological world. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that Apple does, and especially when it comes to their computer line of products, is that they absolutely lead the world. They were the first to do away with floppy drives, the first to do away with optical drives.
CD drives.
All that sort of stuff. Making SSD drives, SSDs are becoming commonplace. Mm. And what that does is, even though their products are premium priced, because they drive the mass manufacture of these products, it brings the prices of these down to a much more commodity level price.
And also, so that's very important. And it forces PC makers to step up their game as well, which is great for everybody then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My last story, speaking of messy.
Okay.
In the early 1990s, I'm just going to read this as it came from The Guardian.
Yeah.
The early 1990s, Japanese economist Yukio Noguchi was overwhelmed by the effort of organising the papers, Dee's going to love where this story goes, of organising the papers that crossed his desk every day, so he did something drastic. He stopped trying. He began throwing every file, regardless of its contents or type, into the same box. Any time he pulled a file out to use it, he didn't even bother to put it back from where he'd gotten it, he just put it back in the front of the box. And a strange thing happened. His life got easier. What's happened is that they've now done, at Bell Re Labs, they've done some research and they've found that by not bothering to file anything and just sticking stuff at the front of everything, it actually makes your life easier. You can find things much more quickly. Trying to file stuff in an organised, logical manner,
this is crazy,
makes no sense and makes your life harder.
Really?
Yeah. The closer something is to the front, the faster you can find it.
Unreal.
They've done a serious study on this.
How does this... I don't understand that. I don't get it. If I'm looking for... If there's a lot of files and... I mean, you think about how we use our computers, right?
Yeah.
And I usually sort by alphabetical or something, or... Yeah, I usually sort by alphabetical on my computer files.
Mm-hmm.
If I had them sorted, everything sorted in a big pile by date... I think it would be harder to find things.
This is just amazing stuff.
Bizarre.
We would love this.
Yes, in what is now the definitive paper on self-organising lists, Slater and Tartan, the people who did this, looked at a host of different algorithms for how a machine ought to maintain the order of its data for maximal efficiency. They discovered discovered something surprising and wonderful. One algorithm came with guarantees that no other could match. No online paging algorithm has better amortized performance, and the supreme algorithm was moved to the front.
I feel like this sort of story just makes people who are very messy happy.
Exactly.
This is what's going on.
That's exactly right.
I feel like that's what's happening.
A demonstration of Gary's filing. Okay, yep. I just got this. Well, that's all right.
Yeah. Just throwing things on the floor.
Maybe I might look at that one next week.
It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. This is Leslie Gore.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on Radio 2 RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
We got there.
Yeah. Well,
you have arrived at your destination.
I have arrived at my destination. I'm going to talk to you now about something I've been reviewing, which is a GPS made by Garmin. It's a drive assist.
Yeah.
It's a very good little piece of equipment.
Okay. Tell us about it. It's got some interesting features that you don't normally find in a standalone GPS unit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it does. The thing I like about the most about it is when you're driving somewhere and say you're going down Bunurong Road at
Pagewood, right.
And you need to turn left onto Maroubra Road.
Okay.
It'll give you the information about what's actually on the corner. Say I'm coming up
landmarks.
To a landmark. So if I'm coming up to an intersection and there's a school, it'll say, turn left at the school.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that is something that you don't find, like Google Maps doesn't do that.
No.
Apple Maps doesn't do that. All the smartphone ones don't
do that. Apple Maps, you're lucky if you actually get a map that looks like where you're going.
but just the idea of having to look for a street sign so you know you're turning into the right street, that is so painful.
It can be very difficult. And in my job, you need to know where you're going because I'm on the road all day.
Yeah.
I can do 100 miles a day.
But something like a servo or a takeaway shop, those sort of things stand out. So if you can spot that, cool. I know I need to turn.
It's really good.
Yeah. I like
and,
that.
And the other thing I like about it is you've got your mapping on the screen, and when you're getting close to the location, because it's got a built-in video, when you're getting close to the location, say 50 metres from where you want to be, your destination, the screen lights up and you're getting a picture of the street.
Oh, really?
Like an actual film street, of the street.
Oh, yeah, a live view.
Yeah, live view
from
of the street
from the built-in camera
because it's got a built-in camera
because it's got a crash cam built in.
That's right. So you're driving up to the destination. And I'm going to your place, say Jeff, and it'll go that my destination's on the right in 50 metres, and there's the picture of the street. And as we get closer to your house, the little arrow's pointing to the house. I'm now there, or if I go past it,
That's crazy.
Says, oh, you've gone past, you'll have to turn around and go back.
That is cool.
That is very cool. That is
it
a,
is. It's
that
very
is a
cool.
very nice feature, but I know that's not your favourite feature of the device.
Is there one more favourite feature?
Oh, there's a favourite feature. When we set it up, you can choose the icon for your vehicle.
Okay. Yes.
And
you can have a little arrow, you can have a little car.
In Dee's case, we've set it up
because
Dee used to ride big motorbikes in days long gone by.
Mm.
So we've got Dee's vehicle set up as a motorbike.
I like it. I like
it's
it.
It's really cool.
And just on this as well, it's got a built-in dash cam.
Yes.
So you can actually, because I know that dash cams have become a big deal. In Australia, or really all around the world, people are recording their drives because if they're in an accident, they've got video footage to hopefully make them look
appear
like they're
less guilty.
Yeah. And having that built into a GPS, which you'd already have stuck to your window anyway, is a really smart thing because it's two in one.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's got a lot of other things too that I don't like. But
lane change warning.
That's right, because I'm a driver. I don't need to be told that I'm moving into another lane because I just don't do those silly things, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's got all those warning things that, you know, you're getting too close to the vehicle in front of you or you're going off into another lane when you shouldn't be.
What I'm seeing in the feature list for this is the features that we've got in our cars, in the car electronic package, electronics and safety package that comes with a modern car now. This is being built into a portable GPS.
Yeah.
So you can get, for instance, I'm in the SLK tonight. The SLK is 17 years old.
Yeah.
And by using this GPS in the SLK, I have got a package of modern features that weren't around when the car was built.
Exactly.
And they're there.
I think that's what I like so much is that this little unit is no longer just for giving you directions.
No.
There's so much more in it. It's really smart.
Absolutely.
It's very smart.
Yeah. And it's a good size. It's like 5-inch screen. So it's not blocking your view or, you know, getting in the way.
The other thing that I found too with this, correct me if I'm wrong, but with some of the touchscreens that you get on the portable GPSs, the touchscreens are not all that sensitive.
They usually have to punch it.
You usually got to punch it three times and then it's going to punch you back and so on.
This is very good.
But this one is more like a phone screen,
it
isn't
is,
it?
It is, definitely, and it's very fast.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Because I remember that used to be an issue, is it used to sit there trying to find a satellite and all this sort of mumbo.
Really,
so that's great.
It's an awesome little piece of equipment.
It's a couple of $100.
Yeah, between $200 and $300.
$200 and $300. Garmin Drive Assist. There's a couple of different models.
Yeah.
Highly recommended by DD Cup.
Yes.
There you go.
And there's absolutely no segue involved in this. This is the Captain Matchbox Whoopee Band. And
from the pole, and it's homegrown from Echo
the
Pop,
cat
gold stopping in
is high.
Afghan Black on the outside, but it'd be homegrown the winner
sweet
in the Melbourne Cup.
That cat is high. Look at that loon is high. Old man is high. He's higher than the sky. That cat is high. Look at that loon is high. Man, I wouldn't lie. Cat's higher than the sky.
Now when you see him dancing up and down the street, you know that cat's been smoking Gunnelsuse on his feet. Man, he's high. I said that cat is high. That cat is high. He's higher than the sky. That cat is high. Look at that, look at his eyes. Oh man, he's high. He's higher than the sky. That cat is high. Look at them two stone guys. Man, I wouldn't lie. That's higher than the sky. Now when you see him dripping round the mouth,
oh, good,
you know that cat is walk right to the grand wop-a-doo-doo. That cat is high.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM, 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Everyone else in the studio has decided to play producer for the night, and they're pointing at me to start.
It's your turn to do that.
It was your turn.
It was indeed, which is why I did it before you even started.
You should have pointed it yourself.
Oh, okay. There we go.
That's it.
There we go. Oh, hang on. Let me... There we go. There. Jeff, you've been looking at you've been drinking lots of coffee. You've been getting high on coffee.
I've been drinking a lot of coffee.
That cat's high on coffee, on caffeine.
Yes. So I've had a all-in-one coffee machine in my kitchen for a bit over 2 weeks now, actually.
Describe all-in-one quickly.
So all-in-one, you pour the beans in the top, add a water jug basically to the side, put your cup underneath, and push exactly what coffee you want, cappuccino, macchiato, espresso, and it goes and does everything for you. The grinding of the beans, the heating of the milk, the boiling of the water, and puts it all into a cup for you.
Now, I can go down to the local servo,
yes,
pay the guy a dollar,
yes,
push a button on a machine,
and get a really bad coffee.
And get a really bad cup of coffee out of it.
But you've only paid a dollar for it.
But I've only paid a dollar for it, yeah. We'll come to that part in a minute.
Yes.
What's the difference?
So with this one, you know, you choose your own beans, you go shopping for beans, and you get all excited. I love how easy it is. I do love how easy it is compared to any other coffee machine I've used. It is mostly touch screen. There is some buttons on the side, but it's so simple. You top your water up, pour your beans in the top, stick your cup underneath. It's that simple. Now, the other thing as well, it's got Bluetooth.
Bluetooth.
And I know Gary's going to love that. I'm going to say it's a smart coffee machine.
Oh,
dear, oh, dear.
And essentially what this means is you can start your coffee and select your coffee from
your bedroom.
From the bedroom. As long as a cup is under the spout and it's already gone through its rinsing process that it always does when you turn it on, and then you stuck your cup under it and then you walked away and then pushed the button.
Okay.
Yes,
okay,
it will then make your coffee.
It's not that smart.
Well, so let me get this straight. Let me get this straight.
Please.
I've got to turn it on,
yep,
which I can do from the bedroom.
Nope. You've got to turn the machine on from the machine.
I've got to go to the machine, turn it on, wait for it to finish flushing and cleaning itself,
yep,
then put a cup underneath it.
Otherwise, you get the flushing into your cup. Yeah.
Sure. Then I can go back to my bedroom, push the button on my phone that says, make me a cup of coffee.
Not even.
And then go back to the machine to pick up my cup of coffee. Or I could just say, push the button on the coffee machine.
While you're there.
While I'm there and wait.
Yeah.
What have I missed here?
Oh, and you have to add the milk yourself as well.
Right.
So make sure you plug that in before you do it. So, yes, it can do it Bluetooth, but you almost wonder, when am I ever going to actually do that?
Yeah.
And the rinsing part is annoying because it flushes it before you make the coffee and then it does it when you finish making the coffee.
But that's good.
Well, you've always got to flush afterwards.
I agree that it's good, but
you've always got to flush afterwards, Jeff.
Fine, but it's a massive hassle because I'll have a small espresso, turn the machine on.
Does it use filter paper when you finish flushing?
I'm not responding. I'm not. So you have this flush, which you catch in a coffee cup so you don't fill that water tray up. Then you empty that out, put your normal cup underneath. It makes your coffee. 10 minutes later, it's flushing again. You're thinking, I'm using more water in flushing this system than what I'm putting in my coffee. Anyway, the most important part is, does it make a good coffee?
Yes,
does it? If you like milk-based coffee, no problem. I think it's a good machine for putting together a cappuccino because it does good froth and puts it together.
Now, with your background,
I'm an espresso drinker.
You have a coffee
aficionado
background. Tell us if it makes a good cup of espresso.
A short black? No. It's very watery. And Ura had made a previous machine, the A9, which I've tested before, and I had the same complaint that the espressos were very drippy, very, I don't know, you kind of...
No body.
It was yeah, there was no substance in it. Same thing with this one. Does really good milk-based coffees, just doesn't do a good espresso.
Price.
The price. If okay, you are
now,
so...
Drum roll. Now, before we came to air, I said that... Sounded like about a $1,700 machine.
Yeah, I said a couple of grand.
Okay, Jeff, tell us the good news.
Now, for this all-in-one monster of a machine...
That can't make a decent espresso.
That can't do a decent espresso. I'm looking at three websites, and you're looking at around $3,700.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh!
So just shy of $4,000. That's without the...
That's crazy. Cup warmer. You could almost buy a commercial... machine for
you
that,
but you'd have to make it all yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like this is,
yeah,
I
you
think
can't,
they,
you can't,
they
you
charge
can't.
A lot for this automatic option.
They do.
It's a lot,
and it's totally non-functional.
Well, it's
semi non-functional.
It certainly has its disadvantages, but the convenience is a nice factor if you're happy to spend that sort of cash.
Okay, if you bought this one, you'd probably be living in a child's dream. This is the Master's Apprentices. And welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM, 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. As we come to the end of the show, it is time for our useless gadget.
What have you got?
Oh, I sent an email out. I got an email from a company during the week, a press release,
yeah.
And I forwarded to everybody on the team during the week.
Oh, that's right. I'm out.
Is this the back sack and crack?
That one, yes. And this is a company that has a new...
It's useless. You haven't tried it. It might be really good.
Yeah, it might be fantastic.
You're quite right. It
wax
might be.
Wax is terrible.
Might be. This is what do they call it? Sugar something?
It's called sugaring.
Sugaring,
yeah, because it's got honey in it and sticky stuff instead of using wax to get rid of your hair.
to instead of getting a Brazilian using wax, which is very painful.
Yeah, you get ingrown hairs and all sort of things happen.
This is using a sugar solution of some sort.
Yeah.
And how'd you go with that, Gary?
Well, I suggested in my email to everyone on the team that perhaps we do a live demo of this on the show. And Jeff, you did not seem to appreciate that suggestion at all.
I do recommend you do it next weekend, though.
I thought it was a good idea, but we'd have to do it to you, back, sack, and crack.
Okay,
don't want to be here for that. Please do it.
Well, you're not going to be here. You're going to be down in the Northern Territory.
Actually, you guys could do it. Jason won't be here either.
So. I know.
I read that all about that stuff, and it sounds pretty good to me because it doesn't irritate your skin, and it's not like it doesn't stick to you. The wax sticks to you, so when they rip the wax off, they actually take a layer of skin with them.
Yeah,
and it's not nice. A lady got septicemia.
What?
Getting the legs waxed.
Oh, not with the sugaring.
Not with the sugaring.
With the waxing.
With the waxing.
Yeah. Right. There you have it. You've been listening to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. We came from the studios in Burwood, not in Brazil. We do not have any Brazilians in the studio that I'm aware of.
Good.
I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Dee Cup.
I'm Jeff Quattromani.
And to take us out, we have Rosemary Clooney and John Pizzarelli, and the track, naturally enough, Brazil. Now.
of our love. There's one thing I'm certain of: return, I will.